Sunday mornings as much. I preach every other Sunday night. I go, Lord, and it's easy for Sunday nights because I'm preaching out of James. So I know next week it's going to be, like tonight it's going to be James 4. So I know exactly what I'm going to preach next week. But when you preach on a Sunday and you're a fill-in, you have to think, okay, what does God want me to preach about? And it was on my heart. And I thought, well, you know, it's not going to be very many people here. It's going to be a small group. Lord, what do you want? And I just struggled and I struggled. And as I just kept reading the Bible, where do you want it? And he said, I want you to see you in Philemon. I go, Philemon? And I'm looking, as I'm hard time looking for it right now, I'm going, Philemon, why? Philemon is a story that Paul's writing. And Philemon is the owner. He's a slave owner. So he's a real person. It's not a city or a place. It's a person. So we're going to be studying out of Philemon today. And Philemon, I love the book because not being a person that likes to read a lot, it's very small. And it only has 25 verses in it. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, I can read the whole book so I can get my hands around it. And as I'm reading the book, I'm thinking this is exactly what God wants us to hear today. Forgiveness. As we read into the future here, I'm going to set the stage. Paul is in chains, and he's with Onesimus. Onesimus is a slave that ran from his master, but accepted Christ through Paul. And as they're working together on that relationship, Paul really needs him. But Philemon needs to reconcile with Onesimus. And Onesimus has some skills that Philemon needs. But he's the owner of the slave. And what would you do to a slave that was stolen? Now, you've got to remember the context of that era. Slaves weren't like slavery we had here in the United States. Slaves there became slaves for different reasons. If I needed money to bail me out of a problem, I became slave. Well, like right now, I have a mortgage with Wells Fargo. I'm a slave to them to make that payment. Okay? That's the way it was then. But this slave owner lost the slave because Onesimus ran off and got to meet Paul and become a Christian. In the story we're going to read, Paul is sending him back to Philemon. And Philemon has the right to kill him. So, before we go any farther, in the study, I find I love to study more and more, and I don't even like to read. So how does this happen? Because you have to read the study. But I think God's Word is energizing. So, we're going to be starting in verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Now this is Paul speaking to Philemon. Yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also in prison of Christ. Some places say for Christ, other places say because of my faith. Verse 10, I appeal to you, my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. The relationship happened while he was in prison. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you will be spontaneous and not forced. Verse 15. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Consider of your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as I read your word, may the next part, the words that come from my mouth, be my understanding of your word. And that the ears hear, and may the words from the Bible make a difference in our lives. Not just to be here Sunday morning, but to change us within. I pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. Wandamus is a slave. The lowest class of any people. In fact, if you found a slave along the way, you had rights in their government to pick on them, to abuse them in any manner. I mean, think about this. That slave has got to be scared at all times, not knowing who he can trust. He must have trusted Paul enough in that relationship to tell him the truth, because he only had to tell Paul the truth. Because how do you know if somebody was a slave or not? It wasn't because of color. It wasn't because of any markings on the body. Because back then, slavery wasn't done that way. You could actually have somebody, a slave, that could be same nationality. Slavery happened because of you financially needed help, or you may be overtaken another country, and then they would be slaves, yes. But Optimus, I don't know. I get a feeling as I read this that he was a little bit higher class than the average. He wasn't a laborer, because he was really needed by Paul. So he must have been very educated. And Paul's pleading for forgiveness. I personally believe that he was being sent back to reconcile the wrong, to be able to confront the master. And as we look at this, the Roman culture would have been kill, punish, beat. But Paul is asking for forgiveness, reconciliation, and becoming equals. This would be radical thinking of the time. Well, let's look at verse 8, and we're going to break down the verses a little bit, looking at each one. Philemon, he has the authority that Paul is looking at him. And in verse 8, be able to have the authority to say, hey, do this, Philemon. But Paul doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to use his authority over him. He wants to have him freely give it in love. Paul could have been bold and ordered him to follow through. But he's appealing to him in love. Because I believe through love, you can have a deeper relationship than you could in authority. He wants him to respect him. In verse 9, we're looking at he's appealing and challenging this group and saying that I'm a little older, looking at giving me the authority. Paul's an old man. And some cultures, in American culture, we don't do it well enough. I'll apologize. I did respect my father. But in other cultures, they really have a lot of respect for their elders. In the Hmong community, I watch how they will listen to an elder or listen to somebody a little bit older. And they must be doing this because they're wise and understanding that that person's went through things in life. And young people here, you have the advantage. If you talk to somebody that's a little older, slow down and listen to them. They've been through a lot of the things in this life. They can give you wisdom. And as Paul is also sick and frail at this time, a person on their deathbed asking you for something, I think all of us stand up and try to listen and say, yeah, can I do that? So Paul is working at pleading this to feel. So in verse 10, he's very strongly looking at his authority. And then he's saying, my son, while he was still in chains, he's saying, this is my son. And he's having the authority like a father or a rabbi that people would understand. The Jewish people would understand this, is that he did have the authority to speak to the subject. My earthly father's name is Claude Hubert Herbus, and he's passed away. So I understand the story maybe a little bit more than most. As we're looking at this, is God sent me another father. When I was quite young, this person mentored me through my life and has made me the man you see here now. In fact, one time I remember this individual cracking me on the back of the head because I was looking someplace I shouldn't look. And that person is Jim Bateman, sitting in the back of the room here. He is not my birth father. But like Paul pleading for Onesimus, he is my father nevertheless. He is one that's guiding me and making a difference in my life. So Paul has accepted Onesimus as being like a son. And he's pleading for his son to go back to the master. The Jewish culture would understand this. They would understand it so greatly that he'd sit and listen. Philemon's looking at, he might have lost a lot of money. He might have lost the slave. And anger gets involved. But Paul is interfering because he loves this man so much. Now in verses 11 and 12, we see a play on words. And when you see a play on words, the writing at that time is really interesting. Onesimus was a common name for slaves. So it was like John is a common name. But the meaning was very interesting. Onesimus meant useful, profitable, that they had value. But in the Greek, it had the meaning of useless. So it was back and forth, kind of a joke in the writing to get this lightened up. It's kind of like here in America. A few years back, you'd hear the kids saying, that's bad, meaning it's good. Or we'd say, cool, back in the 50s. No, it wasn't the 50s, no, it was the 70s, correct? I'm glad I'm getting you guys awake. But you know, remember how, you know, or Fonzie using cool, you know? Cool is when you walk outside now. It's cold. But some of these slang of the time, we need to understand so that he's trying to lighten the message a little bit. Saying, you know, he is useful. And you might feel he's useless. But I'm pleading to you to take a look at this. In verse 12, Paul again stresses how very dear Onesimus was to him. Not simply the one that he cares about, but I care about him so much, I'm going to send him back to you because he has value. He's stepping out on faith that Philemon will understand this and that Philemon will help fix this wrong. Whatever the wrong is, Paul is pleading on that, looking at, my heart is very into this. In verse 13, the appeal for Onesimus is that he's helping me. I'm in chains. I'm limited. Just how many times have any of us been sick or broken arm or had some disability and somebody helps you? You're like, wow, I couldn't have did that without you. But Paul is willing to give this up because something needs to be fixed. And really, we don't know exactly what needs to be fixed. I'm assuming, and this is my assumption, that Onesimus is the one that needed to have this slave thing taken off of him, being categorized that way. He needed that removed. And that the master needed to be the one to forgive. Because inside of us, sometimes we don't forgive. And we hold that feeling inside. So this benefit was for both of them. In verse 14, we see numerous reasons that Onesimus should remain with Paul. He's enslaved. But Philemon, as a Christian, would love and not have to be obligated. No force. True love. Being a father, I can sometimes force my kids to do things. And when they go to do them, they do them with resentment. And when you have that happen, it breaks us apart. But as a father, if I try to do things in love, most times, almost all the time, it brings us closer together. And the same result happens. And you know where I learned some of this wisdom from? My wife. I'm learning for all the time. And she says, ask versus telling. And you can ask my kids, am I good at this? And the answer is no. I still have room to work. But I'm better than I was. To be honest, forgiveness is the one thing that it really brings us together. We respect the person in love that gives us forgiveness. But the person that holds things over us, we stay angry with. In verse 15, it's for a time. It's not forever. It was for a time. They were separated for a reason. God uses all things. Nothing is ever wasted. I'm going to speak to this family up here. In this church, you honored us by allowing your grandson to have his funeral here. Your nephew. I have never seen this building, and I pray that someday we can see it again. Every chair was filled here. It was packed in. They were squeezed in. Two people sitting on some chairs. The balcony was full. The hallway was full. The young man that sat here and laid in front of us is with the Lord at this time. UT touched more people for the name of Christ than I have. The aisles were full and people were standing, reuniting themselves with Christ, and also some first-time people accepting the Lord. What an amazing time. And there was equality in this building. We were one. So forever for a time, things happen. So Paul is addressing that the separation was for a reason. Do you think Philemon would have accepted that slave one day all of a sudden saying, you're equal to me? Yes, in the name of the Lord it can happen. But God might have separated the time because that's what's going to happen. They are going to become equals. Sometimes through separation, we find some of the truths in our own life. Some of you are separated from your loved ones right now. Yeah, you're nodding your head. Some of them are. Our loved ones could be at the men's retreat. They could be someplace else. But do we ever take the time to analyze why we're separated? The temporary time can be a time used to grow. Paul is talking about equality. In verse 16, he's trying to break through the economic barriers of a slave being below, but bringing him up to be an equal, a brother. A brother is somebody that you see on equal sides, or a sister is being equal. God would understand that. But the gods, little g, of that time would not. See, because authority meant power back then. And why would you not keep that authority to keep the power? I think Jesus can say it much better than me in Mark 12, 29 through 31. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And here's his words. "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Jesus is telling, love with everything you have. But Jesus knew they're going to ask another question, so before they even asked, he gave them the answer. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. I'm believing that at this time, Paul is talking to Philemon about this. In verse 17, we see that he talks about partner. It's a business world we live in here. In America, and we talk about partnerships, but a partner is equal. In fact, we have a small group in our home, a Bible study, and it said that the rib out of the man was taken out so that woman would be created. In that Bible verse, it had a great saying: when the woman comes and snuggles next to the man, she's coming home. They're equals. They're next to each other. There is no man that should say the woman walks behind. In women's lib, there should be no woman leading the man. They should be equal, because that's the image of God has made. They are equal. So that's what Paul is asking from Philemon. Can they be equal? In 18, Paul is also talking about that if there's a problem, I will take ownership of it. Most slaves, when they would run, would have to steal things. On my heart is, I don't believe this slave stole things to leave, or they would do things wrong. I believe this is a reconciliation between the two of them for a different purpose, to teach us multiple things. I believe that this slave was a skilled person because Paul needed his help. And Onesimus was not one to steal things. Or if he did, he's been forgiven in Christ. Through the blood of Christ, been forgiven. And Paul is working at having him reconcile this with his master. In verse 19, it is the words himself. As an owner of society, Paul is writing this himself with his own hand. I will pay you back. Paul is taking the responsibility on himself. If he owes you anything that he stole from you, taken from you, I will pay it back. I'm doing this in my own writing. At that time, things were done with seals. They would take a letter, fold it up, and a seal would be put on it. And then it would be shipped so that you would know that the seal wasn't broken. And to have it written in the person's penmanship was even more personal. That's how he wanted Philemon to know how personal this is. Paul is taking, he's basically taking, like say, charge of the situation with taking the, I'll take care of the problem. If he owes you anything, I will pay it. In verse 19, it's kind of like a promissory note, looking at, wow, you know, legally, you know, I owe you this. I'm going to cover it. Forgiveness. The Lord tells us that we should forgive. Stop and think right now in your own heart. Is there somebody that you are angry with? Is there somebody that you need to look at forgiving? Is there somebody that you need to also look at repaying? Take time to look back at this. What did Paul look back and reflect as greater is the redemption of Christ? Take a look at the story as it's unfolding. The master, Wundimus, he could be considered to be like God. Paul, interfering and interceding for Wundimus, could be like Jesus. And each and every one of us are like Wundimus, the one that has went away from the master, went away. But Paul is sending us back, looking at, I will take the payment. What is it that you need to do? Paul is avoid taking Philemon and just saying, do this. He's doing it so that Philemon will find love and hope and simply do it because he wants to do it. If you do things because you want to do it, you're going to find that they're much easier to do. In Acts 26, I think about kicking up against the goads and looking at fighting something you can't fight. What does it mean in your life? What is Paul trying to teach us? Do we have somebody that we need to forgive? Or do we have somebody we need to go ask forgiveness from? Think about this. Slow down your heart. Are you unhappy with anybody right now? In fact, when you forgive somebody, do you ever bring it back up? Have you ever said, I forgive you, but later throw it back in their face? Well, you did this on that date and this time. Forgiveness is actually supposed to last a long time. But Pastor John, you don't understand what that person did. I don't understand, I'll be honest with you. Because I don't have all the information that's in your head. I don't know what you're feeling. Sometimes it might seem counseling. Sometimes it might see that you need to get in there. If you're not safe in the environment, you may need to get out of that environment. And that can be any relationship. It can be a relationship at work. It can be a relationship in your home. But you still need to work through that relationship. Forgiveness isn't just for that other person to forgive you. Sometimes you need to be the one to forgive, but sometimes you need the forgiveness. The Lord's Prayer. We all say the Lord's Prayer. May we forgive those who trespass against us so that we can forgive those. Looking at that, do we really take time to forgive others? Or do we hold ourselves a little bit accountable upwards? And I'm sinful of this myself. Saying, well, if I forgive them, they're going to be equal to me. But if I don't forgive them, I'll be held up a little higher. I'll have a little authority over them. Well, Philemon teaches us in Paul's writings, I believe, that we should be forgiving, asking for forgiveness, and coming together to be brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'm going to close this in prayer. If God has convicted you and has on your heart somebody or people that you need to work through and talk things through, work it through. Pray through it first, then go to them. And if it's in a situation that's not healthy and you need help, come to an elder. You can come to somebody, a pastor, And we're going to come alongside you and support you through this. Because we as a church should be there to help. And may we grow closer in the body of Christ with each other. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray at this time right now that we can be like you, Lord. Forgive. Truly forgive and forget. So that we can be free of sometimes anger, free of worry, and that we be reunited with you, Lord. And then if we need to forgive someone else, allow us the passion to care for that others. Because as you've forgiven us, Lord, in our sins, may we forgive others. We're also told that in the Bible that we're accountable. For how we hold others, we are going to be held. So I pray at this time, Lord, guide our footsteps, guide our conversations. And may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.